Welcome, Jim Taddy, Kristen Chilton, subbing for Captain Hayes, and O-Dog and Noodles, who are obviously sequestered somewhere. Nice. Enjoying their time off.
Nice to be them.
Yeah, and so for the TV audience as well, Olympic coverage will start at 6:25. So we're with you for a few minutes, and then the Olympics will take over. I don't know how much you've had to deal with reluctance in your life. I have a couple of stories that way, but when I think of reluctance now, I think of John Tortorella in the studio, because I remember when he was here, and this man just did not want to do studio work.
Well, didn't he say that himself?
Yeah.
It was just, I'm not going to be one of those talking heads. And lo and behold, Jim.
Yes.
It would seem that he's joined the ranks of the talking heads.
Yes, joining ESPN as an analyst. And I mean, this could be, if he was playful enough, he could turn that into a, you know, an Al's Brother routine where he's off to the side and you, Tortsy, what do you think? And he gives you a quick one-liner and then they cut away from him. This could be effective.
Well, it could be very effective. It's one of those where you want to take the best things about him, which would just be that he's going to be straightforward, he's going to be a little acerbic, he's going to give you a good soundbite, but you also have to be likable enough that people want to watch you and listen to you and you know, enjoy your opinion, at least occasionally.
Yeah.
But he'll be very contrarian, I think, and that's why it could work, and he could be, you know, a great talking head, as he would say. But it's, I think you need those entertaining forces amongst the ranks, and I think he will definitely be that.
I mean, you know, everything is structured, as you know, in television and certainly in radio, but you'd like for him one night to say, yeah, I don't want to talk about that game. Nothing happened. It was a boring game. Those two teams were asleep. I don't want to talk about it.
Does any coach dismiss the media after a game where he's like, I don't want to talk about that. I have no interest in talking about that. So let's talk about something else. I've never encountered a coach like him where he'll just say, you know what, we did our best. Let's move on.
I like it, though. I wonder, because, you know, you have, when you do your post game, and, you know, I've seen over the years where certain Leaf coaches have talked themselves right into a corner. And then it gets personal, and then the guy gets dismissed at some point, because it's sort of like an indicator that the man is not going to be around by their phrasing. And I know you've seen that, but I think what would be interesting in this market is, yeah, I don't want to talk about that game.
Oh, I would love for a Toronto Maple Leafs coach to just dismiss it outright and say, yeah, no, that's not interesting to me. I don't want to talk about that. We don't need it. But I don't think it would fly quite the same as, I mean, we love seeing it on Twitter from coming out of Columbus, but if it was Toronto, it would be front page headline.
Sure.
And
yeah,
everyone would be talking about it. So maybe John Tortorella will be the Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. If you get that reference,
yes. Oh, yes.
Someone out there,
yes,
is going to get it. Most recent episode, you should check it out.
Yeah. What a great series, by the way. My favorite.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
That worked well. Oh, and from there, we go to this, you know, it's difficult for me to set this up because it's called confirm or deny. It's sort of like, I mean, it plays out like yes or no, or yes guy, no guy, does it not?
Yes guy. I'm not familiar with this, Jim. What's yes guy, no guy?
No guy.
Oh, that one. Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
See, I only,
yeah,
knew confirm or deny, so this is new for me.
Well, this is confirm or deny is new for me, absolutely. Confirm or deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. At Don Valley North Lexus, enjoy lease rates as low as 1.9% and delivery credits up to $4,000. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for details.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Well, it has a pretty good zippy intro. I mean, I like the intro.
Yeah, the intro kind of makes it. Al's,
yeah,
brother needs an intro that good.
Yeah, and I have noticed over the last 6 or 7 months that somebody has trimmed the yes guy, no guy intro. I don't know what happened there, but it was much more robust before.
I'm
now
telling
it's been
you,
sliced.
You've got to talk to someone about these things.
I know.
You've
well,
got to just figure this out.
Well, you know, not being in the studio, you know, people tend to do things and you learn about them when you're throwing to them. But anyway, let's start it off.
All right, confirm or deny, Kyle Lowry has made a bigger impact on basketball in Canada than any other NBAer.
I'm going to say deny. I think he's made a huge impact, but it's not bigger than anybody else. The Vince Carter impact is huge, and his impact will be big, too, in the years following. I mean, there is championship residue that inspires people, so, I mean, you won't know that for 4 or 5 years or maybe even longer. But I'm not going to say bigger. I'm going to say big, but not bigger. I don't like that word there, so I'm going to deny that.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. That's deny, because we need more information. Kyle Lowry's not done yet. It could be, the impact that he's had could still be something that's dissected when his career is over and when we see what happens to the Raptors the next couple of years as well without Lowry, right? You almost realize how much bigger an impact the player had when they leave, and you see the void that they've, in their wake, and how does the team adjust without them, and you can almost appreciate more what they brought. So I don't know if we know yet what all his impact is, but I'm not prepared to say yet that it's bigger than anyone else.
As they say in the election business, all the returns are not in yet.
We're still waiting.
Yes, we're still waiting
for the details on the future considerations.
And here, in his particular case, when he signs the one-day contract to retire as a Raptor and they do the statue, that's when you can start calculating his impact.
Yeah, it'll be his statue, and then it'll be Kawhi in the squat watching the ball hit the... It'll be them on Legends Row. Then we'll know for sure.
Somehow they have to create a mechanical ball bouncing around the rim.
Constantly just going, oh, I love it.
Well, there's the ultimate moment where it's, oh, yes, guy, right there.
Nice plug. I see what you did.
Yeah. A little crafty, right? So, confirm or deny, trading for Marc-Andre Fleury was a mistake by the Blackhawks.
Oh, I deny. Not a mistake. I think now that Fleury is headed there, and he's going to give the Blackhawks a boost for sure in net. They could potentially, with their young talent, playoff team. Are we thinking with Flower in net?
Boy.
It's possible.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say it would have been a mistake if he had decided I'm going to retire rather than play, but I'm going to deny that it was a mistake. If he's headed for Chicago, I like Chicago's chances with Fleury in net.
Well, I'm going to confirm it, and it really has nothing to do with Marc-Andre Fleury, but everything to do with a former championship team that has been savaged by salary cap problems. It just doesn't work. I mean, at some point, you have to just clear them out and start over. You can put Band-Aids on all over the place, but you're never going to return to glory. So, I'm going to confirm. It was a mistake.
Well, it did feel a little bit like the Blackhawks were that's like they had a ship that they were just trying to plug all the holes.
Yeah.
Like, but there's just not enough hands on like the cartoon character.
Yeah,
and they're like,
yeah.
Nope, can't do it.
Yeah.
So it's a good one. Confirm or deny, Nick Ritchie carves out a top six role for the Maple Leafs.
I'm going to confirm. I know you did. Did you have him on your list?
I did indeed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he was on my list too. When I did that, the RFAs that didn't qualify went, this is a good guy to sign. The term is good. The contract is good, and the opportunity is good. I've said this many times. I like when a player is dared to succeed. Here's your opportunity. See what you can do with it. I mean, it's really hard to mess that up.
Yeah, and I'm going to confirm as well, because not just what Nick Ritchie can bring on the ice, I think there's a terrific opportunity for him to carve out a top six role. There's no question he'll be reaching for that, but he's also been around Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak, guys who win, you know, that have that winning mentality. He's been around those types of players and been in those situations in the postseason, and that's going to rub off on him too. And when you're talking about a top six guy, experience, just because he's young, it doesn't mean he hasn't taken in some of what he's seen in the past. And I like that for his demeanor as well, and just for his meanness, his grit. That's what the Leafs need in their top six.
Just before we move on, you know, when we did the Raptors-Leafs comparison, here's the one thing that I like about the Leafs. When they bring in a Nick Ritchie, the Bunting, there's a number of these guys that they either know of, or that the player, the Bunting's case, you know, worked out with Austin Matthews. There is other levels of fit, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely there is. And it doesn't, and that's, you like the versatility of it. It doesn't feel like anyone has to be really hamstrung into this is the role you play because it's all you do. And there's such a diversity of places and players and people that, that players can work out with or train with or whomever it is in the summers. And you just pick up different things that maybe in years past you wouldn't have done. You know, I don't know what it was like, 10, 15 years ago if that kind of collaboration went on. But it's a very different league now where wherever anybody settles in the offseason, you get groups together and you end up just learning from, look at Matthews with Jonathan Taves or with Connor McDavid. It just,
right.
It's different than that. There's a constant learning, I think.
confirm or deny. With the moves made ahead of last week's trade deadline, the Blue Jays are a playoff team for each of the next 2 years.
I'm going to confirm that. I really like the, you know, just looking at their homestand, how it's gone so far post, you know, post trade deadline, seeing the way that Vladdy has just, I think it's just his maturation. It feels like it's happening before our eyes.
Yeah.
You can see, yes, as a player, but also I just like, you know, his little movie when he hit a home run last night, just the way, you know, it kind of like looks back at it and you can kind of see, just takes the step back, flips the bat over. Like, it's a little personality coming out. They're taping him to the bench. And I like the direction that's going. I think that when it comes to your star players, when you see them maturing, and it really makes you feel like you've got a playoff team on your hands. So I'm going to confirm that.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, drivers and passengers, we have a consensus. I'm going to confirm it as well. Yeah, I think so. I mean, and the Vladdy story is interesting because, you know, when you're told that this is going to work out, sometimes there's some kickback and, yeah, okay, but it's happening. I agree with you. It is happening.
It's happening right now, and that's it's a pretty incredible thing to see a player going in, and you see it with the Leafs players with Matthews and Marner, you see them mature as well, and it's just, it says a lot of good things for the team overall. All right, confirm or deny, Andre DeGrasse medals in the 200-meter final, and the Canadian women's soccer wins gold over Sweden.
Oh, Canada, confirm. It's going to happen on both fronts.
Wow, that's bold.
It is.
Okay, I'm going to go bolder. I'm going to confirm it too.
Wow.
I'm just, you know, I'm a
consensus.
Canadian homer, I guess. I just love Canada.
Yeah.
That I can't go against them. Andre DeGrasse, you saw his run yesterday. I mean, less than 20 seconds, 1975. His fastest speed was top speed like 42 kilometers an hour or something ridiculous. Like, come on. And the women, Christine Sinclair, you've got to co-sign that.
I mean, how could you go on the air and say anything but confirm?
No.
In Canada, really?
Really.
Okay, confirm or deny, Jack Eichel is still a member of the Sabres at the start of the NHL training camps.
Deny. He can't. I don't know how you recover in that relationship. I don't know how you piece that back together, the distraction of it, the questions, as like we were talking about in the last segment, the questions that it raises about the integrity of the medical process. It's just, it's something that if you move him, you can address it once, and then I guess you'll address it again the first time he plays Buffalo, but then it's done, you know? I would hard deny that.
I'm going to confirm it only because I'm going to put myself in the seat of any other general manager. You're offering me what? You can't even get his injury corrected, and now you're dumping that on me and $10 million. I can't make that trade. They really have to clean that injury situation up and get the proper treatment for it. Otherwise, you're trading somebody who may be a financial liability.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And the fact that, where's he at in terms of his recovery, and what kind of long-term ramifications are there to this process that clearly has not gone the way he wanted it to? What does that mean for him? And like you say, you're making a $10 million plus investment every year. You don't want a guy who's, you're just putting on, and you're not looking for LTIR space here with Jack Eichel, right? You're like, no. You're looking for a player. So that's a good point. I think that's going to be tough for any GM.
And you know,
look past that.
The ask is very high. You know, four pieces.
You want a lot back if you're Buffalo.
Yeah,
so
and we're getting somebody back who, as training camp opens, we'll get him diagnosed and treated, so won't see him for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, that's a tough spot. That's a good point. All right, Gary Trent Jr. turns into a better player for the Raptors than Norm Powell. Confirm or deny?
I'm going to confirm. I really like Norm Powell as a Raptor, but as a starter, I mean, he wanted to be a starter, but there wasn't that position for him. And off the bench, sometimes it didn't work. There was an inconsistency there, even though he did achieve and did develop nicely. But I think that the sort of the runway for him to continue on was gone, and that's why they moved him. And I think that Gary Trent comes in with a little more upside in terms of where that develops. So I'm going to confirm that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to have to confirm as well. I like the player that Trent is, and nothing against Norm Powell. I think he's going to have a great opportunity in Portland, and that's going to be good for Powell. But in terms of what's good for the Raptors, just that what Trent is going to, I think, add to their roster as they go younger, and they need those players that not only are good now but have a high ceiling in terms of where they can take their game. I like where he's at right now. And I think it's going to have an immediate impact in a different way than Powell did.
Yeah.
And if that works out for them, it's going to help to at least cushion the blow of their losses. And, you know, we talk about Fred VanVleet, but maybe soon we're talking about Gary Trent Jr. too, and just being a leader and being someone who can really carve out a nice role for himself here.
Yeah, I think the best way to say it is Norm outgrew the position.
Yes, I think that's a great way to put it.
Okay, confirm or deny, Zach Hyman hits the 80-point mark in his first season with the Oilers.
Oh, that's so tough. Who's he playing with? I'm gonna deny. 80 points seems like a lot for me, even if he's playing with McDavid. I mean, it just, that's a lot of points. And Zach Hyman, we know that he's dealt with some injury issues in the past. We know that he's missed time. 80 points, I think, would be a stretch for him. But I do think that whomever he plays with, whether it's, you know, first line, second line, third line even, you know that he will quickly... He will establish himself there, but how many points, whether this last season was an outlier in terms of his point production or if it's the norm, I guess we'll find out, but I'm going to deny.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I deny that. I mean, that would be an interesting story, but that's not why he's there.
No, certainly it's not. All right. Confirm or deny, Father Time finally takes down Tom Brady this year, causing him to retire after the 2021 NFL season.
I can confirm that.
Okay.
Well, it has to happen. I mean, you know, he's a medical marvel. There's no question about that. I mean, there's been nobody like Tom Brady, but Father Time is undefeated. So I'm going to confirm that.
I'm going to deny.
Oh.
Not because I think he's going to play after the 2021 season, but I do think that if, let's say, Tom Brady once again is hoisting the Lombardi Trophy, he might decide, you know what, I've done enough. I've got other interests. I'm on Instagram now. I've got a following. I'm going to write cookbooks where you don't eat anything that tastes good, and I'm going to build an empire. But I don't think it'll be Father Time. I think it'll be Tom Brady saying it's time.
All right, so let's end on this. The Maple Leafs will again finish the regular season with the best record of all Canadian teams.
Confirm. I think they can do it. I know there's a lot of question marks for a lot of people about this team, but I still think that at least on this side of the border, they will come out as the top team. Not that that will be their division rivals again. Well, not all of them. But I do think that the Leafs will have the best mark in Canada.
I'm going to deny it. I think the Winnipeg Jets are going to do that. I don't know why, but okay. I like what they've done in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, with all due respect to the Leafs, I don't want them to have that. I want them to go into the playoffs searching for something as opposed to feeling they've already got it.
That's very true. And the Leafs, they're going to have some competition. I mean, Montreal did just, you know, they did just lose in the cup final. There are no slouches. And then Ottawa is coming. Like, Ottawa's pushing. If they play like they did to end last season, there's going to be some serious competition in Canada between those four especially.
Let me ask you a Montreal question after I pay the bills here. This is sponsored. Confirm or deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. At Don Valley North Lexus, enjoy lease rates as low as 1.9% and delivery credits up to $4,000. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for details. So Montreal loses Deneau. That's huge. How do they replace that?
Oh, that's tough. And what a contract for Deneau, too. Yeah. And to see the way that he was valued on the market. I don't know where Montreal really goes because, yes, Deneau didn't put up a lot of points for himself, but he was such a driver of offense for others. And he elevated other players around him. He could do so much without really... It was almost like Zach Hyman prior to... this past year, and just in terms of how he made other guys better. And yes, he's a shutdown specialist, Deneau is, and you know what he's capable of there, but he does it all in a very quiet, low-key kind of way. So is it Nick Suzuki? Is it Cole Caulfield? Tyler Toffoli? How much of a bigger role do those players have to take on? And I mean, they did make some decent signings, and they're bringing in some decent players, but it's just... there's so much that Deneau did that I think went under the radar because everyone focused on his individual point totals and didn't necessarily recognize that he was doing a lot more for the players around him to make them better. And then also Corey Perry is gone.
Right.
So I don't know how you make up for that one either.
No, we wish them well. Is the best way to say it.
We're hoping for storylines.
Yeah,
that's what we hope for.
So on the way out, let me tell you that if you're watching on TSN2, Olympic coverage is next. For those listening on TSN 1050, Overdrive continues. On TSN 1050 and streaming online, Jim Taddy, Kristen Shilton subbing for the regulars who are off.
We're jealous of them.
Yes. Yes,
because
we
just picture them at a pool, not here with us in the studio.
An O-Dog would be, you know, not very happy with his service. And you know.
I love that every break we just imagine, what's O-Dog doing right now?
Yeah.
What's he up to?
Got the hat on in the pool.
Is he on the links? Is he by the pool?
Yeah. Hey, Al's brother, is he there? No, he's out of the booth. He's gone. You know, when
he left the light on.
I know.
I mean, how dare he?
That was a total decoy on his part. Jays continue on the welcome home stand, 3-1 so far, which means 8 more games to go against Cleveland again tonight, losing in 10 innings last night. And Hand, one of the new acquisitions, the reliever, has struggled, but you know we expect bigger and better things out of him. And so a star starter and a closer acquired, and everybody's optimistic. It's nice to have that buzz back for the ball team.
Yeah, and certainly I think the mark left by Jose Bautista, who was on Al's brother's ranking of great Toronto athletes of the decade. I think there was such a sense of optimism when, you know, when it was Bautista and it was Donaldson and Edwin and Encarnacion, and then things kind of took a dip, and now it feels like they're getting back to, you know, their playoff caliber teams, where you know you've got guys like Vladdy, you've got Bo Bichette, you've got these young exciting players, and then now that they've got the pitching thing, other than Hand, right now they've got it going in the right direction. That you feel optimistic that this actually could be a playoff team consistently sooner than later.
Let's bring in Keegan Matheson. At Keegan Matheson is the Twitter account. Keegan is works for MLB.com, Blue Jays reporter. Keegan, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How's everyone today?
Good. Sounds like you're at the ballpark?
At the ballpark. Good to be back. It's a little louder than my living room was the last couple of years, yeah.
Well, we were talking earlier in the show just about the outside energy in Toronto with the Blue Jays back. What has it been like for you to be back in the building where, you know, you've been accustomed to doing your job prior to COVID? And I guess just how exciting has it been individually for you to be back and experiencing the normalcy of your job?
It's very different, very exciting to be back. I think a lot of the players forgot that I do exist with a full lower body, not just a Zoom head, which is nice. So it's great to be back around and have some human conversations and see those interactions. You certainly see the fans back here. And in a normal time, when you're seeing 40, 45,000 people in here, that noise becomes something you're used to. But now, even just hearing the 15,000, it's amazing to hear that roar again, have a live crowd that's actually reacting to what's in front of you. It certainly beats the couch, it beats TV, and the energy here has just been fantastic.
Might be a new TV show. Hey, Zoomhead. Nobody's called you that, right?
Thankfully, not yet.
Talk to me about what you think the Jays have here. Were you happy with what they did at the deadline? Most were, and where does this lead?
I think it made a lot of sense what they did at the deadline because they weren't really set up for pure rentals. I know that Brad Hand fits that rental profile, but having Berríos going into next year makes a lot of sense because right now where the Blue Jays are, they still need a run. They still have to go on that run like the 15 Blue Jays did, running off 11 games straight in August. And maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. They need some late-game hitting. They need that pitching to be there. But stretching this into 2022 makes a lot of sense for the Blue Jays. And this is when it gets uncomfortable for people. I know you're dealing prospects who fans do fall in love with, but baseball prospects are meant to break your heart. They will do it via trade or via not reaching the potential eventually. And every once in a while, you're going to trade away a Fernando Tatis, and that's going to hurt, and you're going to feel that sting for a couple of decades. But more often than not, when you're dealing prospects, you are dealing them at the height of their value. And it's getting into that tough time for the Blue Jays. More of those decisions ahead, definitely, but I think it was a good middle-of-the-road approach in terms of balancing a bit of a run this year, but you've got to take care of next year as well. Robbie Ray is a free agent, and you need that number two guy behind Hyunjin Ryu.
Well, Keegan, you mentioned the lack of late-game hitting. What do you attribute that to, or what do the players say about where that goes? I mean, I think they're first, correct me if I'm wrong, they're first in the league, you know, up until the sixth inning, and then after that, it seems like they fall off pretty consistently and just not getting that support.
Yeah, Kristen, there's been so many games where the Blue Jays get that big lead and hand it to the bullpen and say, take it the rest of the way, which has put pressure on the bullpen, frankly, and that's really highlighted some of those issues. But the Blue Jays dealing with relievers late, well, then you're dealing with the guys who throw 98, 99, which everybody does now. That's almost become not special coming out of the bullpen. You expect it. So matchups, the best pitchers are coming into the games, but at the same time, other teams can do it. Other teams are hitting better than the Blue Jays, so it's not impossible. So some of that comes with youth and inexperience in some senses, learning how to adjust from a starter to a reliever late in the game. But the Blue Jays need to figure that out. That's something that Marcus Semien highlighted the other day in terms of what needs to happen down the stretch, because if the Blue Jays are going to make a real run, and I mean that long winning streak that defines a season, it's not all going to be clean. There are going to be some messy games where they have to come back and steal a win late from somebody. And for as good as this lineup is, they haven't really stolen that many wins in the seventh or eighth or ninth inning this year. It doesn't fit. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And they have to figure that out. That's necessary. They've got to figure out a way to hit late.
Keegan, is there any way to know, I guess it'll unfold in front of our eyes, three home parks for the Jays in one season? Is that something that could cause a problem later on or not?
It's interesting to see how these guys adapt to that, just in terms of day-to-day life. I mean, being back in Toronto and waking up in your own apartment or at least a long-term hotel, making yourself breakfast and not seeing your suitcase first thing when you wake up, it impacts different guys differently. If you are a young rookie coming onto this team without a family, it might be a bit easier. But I think the wear that you see from that, the fatigue from that, is going to be a test down the stretch, because there's a lot of ball games, and other teams have lived a little more simply. I don't even think so much about on the field, but off field, that travel, that hotel life, which adds up, that's going to be something I think is worth watching down through September, especially when you're getting into pitchers who are stretching back out, because it is not just unique this year. This is all-time unique, what the Blue Jays have had to deal with, and it's not something we have much of a blueprint for to even analyze. It's incredibly unique.
Where is George Springer at this point? Has he begun to really emerge as the type of player that the Jays were expecting?
Yeah, this looks like him now. It looks like it makes sense. And part of that is the backdrop of being at the ballpark here, seeing George Springer at Sky Dome like it was supposed to be all along. But, you know, we saw early this year when he came back from his first injury, he was just so clearly not himself. That was a little rough to watch at first. Back on the IL, and then when you're back from an injury as long as that, everybody else is in midseason form. You know, pitchers are ready. They are more sharp than you are at that point. But lately, when he is stealing bases, taking extra bases, being aggressive on the bases, it has not always worked by any means, but you see him being at 100% health and getting that timing back, because he's such a dynamic all-around athlete, incredibly athletic. He has the power to hit 40 home runs. Having that at the top of your lineup, after that big investment, it took the Blue Jays a while to see that. But the all-around profile, you know, there is a reason the Blue Jays dropped $150 million on this guy. And this week, this last week or so, winning player of the week, you're really seeing that full package.
You know, trying to figure out, I was going to ask you to complete the sentence, so I will. The Jays' season will be a failure if...
if they do not reach the playoffs. I mean, this team is built with Springer, with Vladdy playing at an MVP level, with Ryu, with investments in this team. I think the time where the Blue Jays can say this is still development, this is still part of a process, that's over. And that has to be over. I think that thinking needs to be over, because you can't bet on Vladdy playing like this every year. I mean, sure, he might. This might be who he is for a decade, but you can't bet on finding a veteran second baseman like Marcus Semien, who plays like an all-star and one of the best in the game next year either. There are so many things going right for this team. Now, the bullpen at times and some other issues have undermined that. You've seen how a weak roster spot can really sink a team sometimes. But with all of these things going right, this has to be postseason or failure considered for the Blue Jays. I think that's the point they're at in this growth.
Well, we know that the Jays traded or acquired Corey Dickerson back in June, and he is set to make his debut with the team tonight. What is the fair expectation for him and what he's going to add to this lineup, especially as we know now that Biggio going to the IL with those back and neck issues?
Yeah, Charlie Montoyo really likes this guy. They spent some time together in Tampa, and Dickerson adding into that outfield. I remember at the time of that trade, Simber and then Dickerson was kind of the and on the end of that deal, but some real value here. And the example that Charlie Montoyo uses is kind of that Rays model. And I know we really beat that Rays model idea over and over, but when you look at his fit on this roster, there will be days where he's in the starting outfield and he's adding a lefty bat, but the Rays always tend to have one or two guys on the bench who come out and just always make a play, get a hit, and there's always someone on the Rays bench the Blue Jays fans are annoyed with, and that's kind of what Dickerson can be. You know, come in and make those max effort plays. Charlie keeps calling him a gamer. That's the word you hear over and over again, but having that deeper bench, the Blue Jays will need that because they're very righty heavy all season, which that's been okay. They've hit everything mostly, but having some balance and having that on the bases, I think will help, especially late in games, which going back to that, maybe that's part of the solution.
You know, when we have Steve Phillips on, he talks about the run differential. As we speak right now, the Jays are at 104, plus 104. The Yankees, a game ahead, are at minus 6. I mean, that number alone should force them up the standing, shouldn't it?
That should, logically, eventually. That's got to balance out. And that's one of the beauties of baseball is that you can't really fluke your way along. Eventually, over 162 games, things have to balance out for the Blue Jays. Now, it's not going to swing completely in the other direction. It's like we talk a lot about, are the Blue Jays better than their record? I lean towards no. You are what your record says. That's the only way we rank teams. And it's how they get there has not been traditional, of course. There have been some big wins and then tight losses. That's how you get such a differential. But I think winning those tight games would really turn this around. And that's one of those other reasons that you point to this team. You look at the talent on this roster. If you lay this down as a paper roster, look at it as a video game, there is so much talent on the roster. It's just that the final few spots on the roster, which sometimes has been the bullpen, have led to some losses along the way. But the top-end talent is just certainly there.
Keegan, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
Keegan Matheson, MLB.com, Blue Jays reporter at Keegan Matheson is the Twitter account against Cleveland tonight. Cleveland, by the way, in the run differential, minus 27. That plus 104 is startling.
Yeah, well, when Keegan was talking there about the Blue Jays, I couldn't help but think a little about another team where it's the top-end talent looks pretty good. You just need the pieces to fill in if you're the Jays, right?
We cannot escape.
On paper, they tee us up for these things, Jim. It's like people know. Yeah. They want us to talk only about the Leafs.
There's no escaping the Maple Leaf story, is there?
Because you can make anything about them because so much has happened.
You could phone up in the middle of August in a heat wave and mention something about the Leafs and it'll ripple right through social media and people want to get in on it.
Well, but as you say, it's an interesting, or as Keegan said, the expectations are there now for the Blue Jays just because of their young talent, though, and because on paper they have something in Vladdy, obviously, that is lightning in a bottle. Potentially, you don't know where he's going to go as he continues to mature. And when you've got a player that good who's that hot, you've got to capitalize on it. It's again, you had a Rocket Richard winner on your roster and you didn't make it out of the first round. And I'm just saying, take advantage.
And a first all-star winger.
Take advantage of your
and
opportunity.
First
Let's
all-star
just
winger.
Keep going.
First Let's... one since 1962.
When was the last cup? It was somewhere around there.
67, yes. Yes. Crazy. What was I going to say? Oh, so Al's brother, when he was on with his power rankings and had the two Blue Jays in there, talked about them winning, but, you know, they didn't get all the way. They won. How many did they win, a round or two? I can't even remember.
They did. They made it past the play-in round, if you want to call it that.
Right.
There was the wild card, the play-in round, the wild card. And it was, they had some memorable series, especially against Texas, if I remember correctly. So they at least moved forward. They moved the needle.
Yeah, so if the Leafs won a round, would the best player in the series win make your list? I don't think so.
No, it takes a little bit more than that probably to make the list. I don't know. It's a whole story. There's got to be some sort of consistency and a build to it. Perhaps we'll see what happens when that happens. Well, we'll redo the list and we'll see if something changes.
Well, hopefully it happens in the next calendar year. Otherwise,
I'm looking forward to 2.0, the 2.0 list, and just to see who ranks where, because I mean, your number one guy, he's gone, so the number one spot is open, Jim. It's open and available, so let's see who cracks it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see who cracks it, yeah.
Well, number two is available as well, right? Like Jose.
Oh, yeah, number two, right? And number four. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
None of them are going to factor into, like, the next decade of Toronto sports, so we got a nice young core ushering themselves into here. Vladdy's going to enter into the conversation. Bo Bichette, Mitch Marner, or Mitchie Marnsauce, as I like to call him. You know, Pascal Siakam, maybe Freddie ends up there and becomes the kind of the next Kyle Lowry.
Well, here, and here's the, you know, the breaking story of the summer, which everybody missed, is this is a one steady Freddie town now.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah, see, nobody jumped on that. I mean, now there's just one.
Well, at least maybe he'll be steadier than the departing Freddie.
Steadier Freddie. I remember the day I came on, because it was always Anderson, and I came on the air and said, Steady Freddie plays for the Raptors.
Well, he also earned the nickname, though. So, hey, that's... But still, I mean, NHL nickname. Freddy? Like, Fred X. Okay, he had a better nickname than just his name. But, yeah, that's still not great nicknames.
No. Steady Freddy. You know, and while we're at it, because you're now reconfiguring the list, could you sing us out? Could you do that for us?
What do you want me to sing? The Giovinco song
yeah,
again?
Yeah, absolutely. Just because, JP, I don't know if he kept the file, so we're going to create another one.
I would have doubt if he had it
or
ready.
Or Jose. We'd also take Jose.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Which one you want? You tell me which one you want.
I want Jose. Okay. Go.
Jose, 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 Jose.
We're just
Jose,
subjecting
Jose,
our
Jose.
Listeners to this right now, Jim. Let's remember.
It's looped.
I know.
I'm going to use that for my ringtone.
Fantastic.
Jose, Jose, Jose,
he's a gamer.
Jose. I want royalties on that if that's the case.
Good luck with that.
I hear that's tough to get around here.
Yep.
You'll have to phone up the trademark office and sit for 3 years, and maybe they'll help you out eventually. Things work slow in that particular department. But anyway, I can consult you for a slight stipend.
Now, I'll take the number of your lawyer when we hit break here.
Okay, good. And Steve is waiting for your call.
Fantastic.
Right out in maybe. That's the firm. But anyway, Overdrive will continue streaming online and on TSN 1050. Jim Taddy, Kristen Chilton here. Tomorrow, are you off now for a period of time?
Oh, I'm never off. I'm always on. But from this show, yes, I will be off tomorrow.
Okay.
But you may see me again, Jim. You never know when I might pop up and just say hello.
There may be a trade.
You never know. Or, this team especially.
Yeah.
Always the most inconvenient of times. Never leave your house without your laptop is what I've learned with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I have worked two Christmas days in my lengthy career. And on the last one, Ron Wilson was re-signed.
Oh, no. I remember being on vacation when Kyle Dubas was named general manager. And I was on West Coast time, and it was very early on the East Coast. It was extremely early on the West Coast. That took up a whole day of vacation. So
yeah,
the sacrifices we make.
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
There's no violin music. Do you have any violin music, JP?
The world's tiniest violin.
Okay. Yeah, too bad.
I'm playing it in my mind.
I had an ad-lib there. But nonetheless, tomorrow, Steve Simmons will be in with me, and Bobby Marks from ESPN will be on. Steve Phillips will be on. Wheel of Misfortune at 5:30, probably another Yes Guy, No Guy variation, and Randy Ambrosi, the head of the CFL, at 6:05. The CFL is back.
That's exciting. I have had some good times at CFL games in this city, and it'll be great just to have another sport, right? Just to have that if it's working for TFC, it's working for the Blue Jays. Just the more normal that we feel, I think the better it is. And you just know CFL fans have been so disappointed not to see that product on the field for so long. It feels like longer than just a season and a half. It just feels, I guess it was two seasons for them. So it's great that they've managed to figure out how to do it safely.
Yeah, so nothing last year. Which is, you know, probably the only league that didn't. Well, I guess some of the junior leagues.
Professional leagues, there weren't many that didn't do something.
Yeah, well, because of sponsor commitments and trying to find a way, but they just couldn't make it work, which is unfortunate, but it's back. And, you know, as we saw in the NHL, you know, when the NHL had all those stoppages and came back to record revenues, people fell off their chairs.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. I mean, when it comes to CFL, though, it's on my sports bucket list that I want to go to a game out west in, like, Edmonton, where they just have the crowds and the stories that I've heard about what those games are like. There's just apparently no comparison. So I'm excited one day to get out there and see a CFL game out west.
So in the final minutes, yet another Raptors-Leafs comparison, and I always like to do this. So the Raptors are two seasons removed from winning a championship, and who's left? I mean, there's not many left. There's it's not a massive turnover, but there's enough departees there to say, well, okay, so you, as we said earlier, it's a reboot, not a rebuild. But people have gone. So, and if you did, if the Leafs were to win, or forget about if they win. Let's go 4 years down the road, which is pretty close to eternity in today's NHL life cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fair chunk of time. I mean, who's left?
Yeah, and that's a fair question. Who's left after this year if it doesn't go the way that you want it to? If the doom and gloom were to come to fruition, let's say, how do you have to blow it up? And when, you know, when Joe was on earlier, he said, that's what people are saying now, you got to blow it up. I think it's too soon for that now. But as you say, teams win, and then look what just happened with the Lightning. There's certain players that have to depart in order to make room for the players that you want to keep. And you'd like to keep everybody. But in the Leafs' case, it's a question of potentially, well, we'd like to keep them, but it's just we're not getting the return on our investment the way that we had expected. And so in that situation, you have to make those tough decisions. The tough decisions that Masai and Bobby Webster had to make for the Raptors,
right,
when they had to, it was not easy. It was probably the hardest decisions they've
Coach
made
the
professionally.
Yeah.
And for to trade DeMar DeRozan, like, it's not easy, but you took a risk. You made the gamble and it paid off.
Yeah.
In a different way, Kyle Dubas has made his gambles in the money he invested in his core. They have not paid off the same way. And that's where I understand the criticism that comes with being the GM of a team. But if the investments had returned the way that obviously Dubas thought that they would, we're having a different conversation. And
it
worked out. And at times, as we spoke about, by the hair of a basketball,
sure,
just happening to fall down.
Yeah.
But it's a different story if it doesn't. It's a different conversation. So you wonder, what will this team look like? But I wonder next year, what will they look like, depending on how this year is going to progress. So there's a lot to unpack with the Leafs. There's so much hinging, it feels like, for me on this year, even though I think the pressure isn't there to be a contender out of the gate. There's still that question of what happens if you get to playoffs and it's the same ending.
Well, yeah, the same ending is unacceptable. I was actually going to say, based on some of the young guys that they've signed, I thought it actually created a two-year audition, but I may be wrong. But clearly, I mean, if there's a first-round exit next year, then you find out the tolerance and game plan of the people that own the team. Because at some point, somebody has the power to say, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. And if there's pushback, it's like, well, now you're not doing this anymore. And a new guy comes in. And I mean, clearly, when you've seen this in other teams, when a guy comes in who hasn't drafted everybody, it's a different look.
It always is. And you saw that almost immediately with, you know, when Lou Lamoriello was replaced, or not replaced, but when Kyle Dubas was promoted, and then Mike Babcock wasn't the coach for much longer, because people want their own people. And that's especially when it comes to management, and they want to put their own fingerprints on it. And this fingerprint, the fingerprint of this team is Kyle Dubas, is that he has been there since 2014. He has been a part of the draft classes. We were talking about the draft classes,
right,
and who's making an impact. And he's been in a part of that. And now it gets to the point where now you've got to see what you have in the players you drafted, but you also need to win, because you only have a finite amount of money that's not wrapped up in these players that you don't want to trade. And if you're not going to trade them, you've got to win with them. So there's only two choices here at this point. And Dubas has put all of his chips behind his players and said, I believe in them. I know that this is going to be a core that moves us in the right direction.
Okay, so this is kind of a pointed question, but I'm going to throw it at you. What is the biggest failure of the Leafs? Is it not drafting Zach Hyman-like players, or anointing the big four as the money guys?
Well, it's hard to call it a failing yet, but it looks like if it continues to go the way that it is, it's going to be that you invested so much in the core. And it's hard to call it a failing, because they haven't failed yet. But if you're looking 5 years from now and Austin Matthews is gone potentially, or that one of the other players is gone and you haven't accomplished what you set out to, it won't matter so much what you didn't draft as it did that you could not sign anyone to come help them the way that they needed to be helped, to be the kind of team that you wanted them to be. So that's where I would put my answer today.
Okay, so we'll just leave it at that. And Kristen, thanks for coming in. I'll see you at some point, somewhere.
See you down the road.
Yes. Steve Simmons in with me tomorrow night. Thanks for joining us in Overdrive. Have a great night.